Jesus will fix it. Steve, thank you for reminding us of that. And then that last one, we could just pin our ears back. We knew that song. We could sing that one. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Boy, I hope you spend often times speaking to Jesus, talking to him. Takes our prayers to the Father. We pray through his name, by his power, and by his authority. And that's why we're here this morning, because Jesus will fix it. And he has fixed it. Some of you can stand up and testify that he's fixed your lives. Amen. He has fixed it, and he's still working on us. He's still working on me. He's not finished with me. Still working on us. So glad you're here this morning. I love everything that we've done this morning. I love what we talked about. I was going to talk about that. I'm so glad that you mentioned that. Seems like yesterday when we were going through the meal, everybody that came out, I don't know if it's the time of year or what, but everybody just seemed so much more thankful for what we... I had so many comments. Thank you for what you guys do. Thank you for this meal. It was wonderful, for all that you do. And that happens, but not nearly to the extent that it was happening yesterday. So I'm so grateful that we've been able to be a blessing to our community. And I want to say thank you to everybody that was here and was working. As I looked around, it's almost like everybody has their own place. You know, it's like the people that serve food and serve drinks and all, it's like everybody has their own place and everybody's just doing their thing. And it's like when we come together, it just sort of happens organically. Everybody knows kind of their place and where they're needed, and everybody just jumps in and does it. So thank you. And a big thank you to Rob Frederick. I know that you have a lot of folks working. Bill Mendenhall, the Fordyces. I don't want to just start mentioning names, even though I started mentioning names. But you guys are sort of the hinge that the door swings on. So thank you for all the work that you do and for allowing us to be a part of that. We're going to talk about From Troubles to Thanksgiving, Philippians chapter 4. Your Bibles hopefully will be open there. We'll have some of the verses on the screen. This coming week, we're going to be traveling down to Nashville, actually just west of Nashville, to Dixon, Tennessee. My younger sister, they've rented a Vrbo there, and her clan, she has twin daughters, and I think four grandchildren, and a couple of sons-in-law, and then my mom and my sister. We've been invited to come down, be a part of that chaos, and we're going to go and do that. So pray for us. You know, other people's kids, you just love them and love to be around them, you know. And so just pray for us. We're going to have a good time. And my mom is cooking, doing some of the cooking. Not all of it, but she's cooking the dressing and some things. And so it's going to be really good. Going to be really good. I'm getting hungry already just looking at this picture. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to talk about From Troubles to Thanksgiving. Our Thanksgiving tradition, what we know as Thanksgiving, came out of a lot of troubles. Not until we were at war, a civil war, was it that Thanksgiving Day was officially recognized by our Congress. You go all the way back to 1621, Plymouth Colony. The settlers there ate with the Wampanoag Indians, who brought food as a gesture of goodwill. Those early settlers were struggling. There were a small band of folks who had come here, and almost no one was untouched by death. They had buried husbands, wives. Many had buried children. They were struggling. Fast forward to 1777. The Continental Congress proclaimed a national day of thanksgiving after the victory at the Battle of Saratoga. 12 years later, after that, George Washington proclaimed another national day of thanksgiving in honor of the ratification of the Constitution. And then he requested that Congress finally make it an annual event. They declined. It would be yet almost another 100 years at the end of a bloody civil war when President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed the last Thursday in November as Thanksgiving, 1863. It might surprise you that it still took almost another 40 years in the early 1900s before the tradition actually caught on. The reason for that? Lincoln's proclamation was used to bolster the Union's morale, and many Southerners saw the new holiday as an attempt to impose Northern customs on their conquered land. I probably had some kinfolk that were upset about it, to be honest. But our tradition today was born out of a great deal of trouble and struggle as a nation. Today, a lot of times, Thanksgiving is about a big feast, it's about family, and it's about football. That's what we know. Many times, our Thanksgiving is born out of adversity. All too often, I think in times of plenty, we tend to forget. We tend to forget where all of our blessings come from. We tend to think, well, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. Look how hard I've worked. Look at all the things that I know God's blessing, but I've done this on my own. That's where I think a lot of times folks live. The idea of being blessed in the midst of adversity is seen all throughout the Bible. And maybe the greatest example of this we're going to look at this morning is in the book of Philippians, where Paul says over and over again, rejoice in the Lord. I will say it again, rejoice, rejoice, you're blessed. Paul is writing this from a Roman prison. That's when Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord. So Philippians chapter 4, let's begin in verse 4. Let me read to the end of the chapter. The word of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment, and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul suffered probably more than anyone I've ever read about. And yet, in prison, he says, rejoice, be thankful, because we're blessed. Nothing could destroy this guy. Shipwrecks, beatings, imprisonment, stonings, poverty, hunger, cold, on and on. But he's thankful. He's thankful. Notice what he says. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Let's look again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How in the world can you be thankful in every situation? How can you let that permeate your mind? Notice what he says. By prayer. Spend much time in prayer. But not just pray, but pray with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. If you're here on Wednesday nights, you'll notice that most oftentimes when we have prayer time, we'll list off a long list of people that we need to pray for. We've been praying for our sister Debbie and for John. There's just so much to pray for in our body. But before I want to take anything to the throne of God and ask him to heal or ask him to bless, I want to give praise. I want to give thanksgiving to God, because God is worthy of that. We're so quick to thank God and to praise him when good things happen. But what about when bad things happen? Is God worthy of praise? Is God worthy of our thanksgiving? Absolutely. So even in the midst of crying out to God or asking God to heal, asking God to bless, it's good for us to spend time in prayer with thanksgiving. Thanking God not just for the blessings that he gives us, but praising God just because he's God, just because he's worthy, because he's good. If we never receive anything else good from God, he's worthy of praise. He's worthy for us to bless his holy name. Sometimes we think God is some Santa Claus in the sky. We make a wish list. We call it prayer, but it's a wish list, and we're asking God to bless us, or God is some fast food guy where we can just sort of drive through and pick up some blessings that we need for the rest of the week. Let me ask you this. How many of you believe that the Bible is true? How many of you? Oh, that's good. I think everybody. All right. Thank you. Paul is telling us about this subject. He's saying, if you will pray with thanksgiving, God will protect your heart from anxiety. God will protect your heart from worry. Make a list of everything that you're thankful for, and I guarantee you, you will spend a lot of time in prayer thanking God. We sing that old song, count your blessings, name them one by one. If we would actually sit down and take this as an exercise and say, God, this is what I'm thankful for. And I'm not good at this. I like to tell people to do things, but I don't like to do them myself, you know? But if I would just sit down and take a pad and a pen and just write out all the things for which I am truly thankful, I might spend all day in prayer. God has been so good to me. God has blessed me. God has never let me down, not once. He's always been good. He's always been a keeper of his promise. And you know what happens when you pray like that? You quit worrying. Your anxiety goes away. The depression lifts. It doesn't mean that all your problems go away. But when you start thinking about other people, when you start praying and thanking God for all that he's done for you, it seems like everything else just kind of takes care of itself. God is so good. He's so worthy. So we're not to be anxious about anything. Secondly, Paul focused on the positives in life. focus on the positive. Look at verse 8. Finally, brothers, this is Paul saying finally. I'm not saying finally. This is Paul. Finally, brothers and sisters, look at this. Whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Your verse might say, dwell on these things, ponder, meditate, think about things like this. The things we focus on will affect the way we feel. The things that you meditate on and dwell on and think about, they're going to have a big impact on the way that you feel. I grew up in Nashville. They call it the home of country music. When I was a kid, I didn't like country music. I just didn't like it. I was a product of the late 70s and the early 80s, and so you know the kind of music that I really enjoyed, all the good classical things, the rock and roll and stuff. But I grew up around country music. And, you know, they say that if you play country music backwards, you get your house back and your dog back and your wife back, all that stuff comes back to you. See, the stuff that we think about, the stuff that we dwell on, it really affects us. It affects our minds. It affects our hearts. And so it's so important to think about good things, positive things, whatever's true and noble and right and pure and lovely, admirable. Think about those things. Dwell on those things, and it will actually have a big impact on your life. Lastly, Paul trusted that whatever happened, God was with him. He's writing this from a prison cell. And he knows that whatever happens in his life, God is with me. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I was talking to Paul about this maybe just yesterday. Maybe this is an assumption on my part, I don't know. But Paul was a very learned man, was he not? Paul was he studied under Gamaliel. He was achieving and climbing the ladder faster than almost anybody his age group. Might we assume that Paul grew up with maybe a little bit of money? That Paul was not a poor man? Maybe Paul had a little something growing up? Maybe that's an assumption on my part. But he grew up a Roman citizen from Tarsus, studied under Gamaliel. Paul may have known what it was like to have plenty. But notice what he says. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret. I've learned what the secret sauce is, guys. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Here's the secret sauce right here. Here's the sauce. I can do all of this through him who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Paul's not saying I can do everything. Paul's not saying I can do all things. He's saying in the context, I know what it's like to have plenty, and I know what it's like to not have plenty. To be well fed, to have my belly full, and to be hungry. He's writing this from a prison cell. And he says, I can do all of this through Jesus Christ, because he strengthens me. That's where the secret sauce comes from. It's from knowing Jesus. When times are hard, sometimes we say, where's God? Why is this happening to me? And if you're honest with yourselves, you have asked that question. I've asked that question. Why me? Why now? Why is this happening? Where was God? Oftentimes we feel that way. But God has never left you alone. God never promised Christians an easy time. Remember that old song, I Beg Your Pardon, I Never Promised You a Rose Garden? Anybody remember that song? God never promised that it was going to be easy for us. If he did, then he cheated Paul and the apostles and the early Christians, because they suffered a lot. They suffered a lot in life. Hebrews chapter 11. Oh, Can we go to Hebrews? Thank you. Thank you for letting me do that. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Oh, this is the hall of faith. We know this. For those of you who don't know, I preached on the book of Hebrews for about a year and a half one time. Wonderful study. But look at this. Hebrews chapter 11. Oh my goodness, we've got to fast forward through all this. Verse 32. What more shall I say? I don't have time to talk about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword. Look at this. Whose weakness was turned to strength and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. Those are your early brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the kind of suffering that they endured because they believed in Jesus. But that they knew that there was a better home that was waiting, that there was something else that was promised, and that God was going to keep his promise. Jesus said at the end of the what we call the Great Commission in Matthew 28, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And then he says this, I am with you always. Remember the Hebrew writer said, I will never leave you. God said, I will never forsake you. God has not left us alone. We're not by ourselves. He's put us in a family. We talked about this in Bible class. If people in the world would just understand that they don't have to do it alone, that we're not on this journey by ourselves. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, God puts you in a family. He puts you in a community of people that will travel this road with you, to make this journey with you. Church, I don't know if I've told you lately, but I love you. I love the Northside Church. I love the way that you love God. And I love that we're in this together, that we're not having to journey alone, but that we can all pull together. You remember what King David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. That's King James. Because thou art with me. Say it. Thou art with me. Again, we're not alone. We don't have to walk through the valley alone because God is with us. You remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Daniel chapter 3. The king made a big statue and everybody's got to bow down. And they said, we'll bow the knee, but we'll only bow it to Yahweh. We will bow the knee to no one except God in heaven. And because of that, what happened? They threw him in the fiery furnace. And when he looks in, he says, we threw three guys in there, but it looks like four. It looks like four, and one of them looks like a son of God. You are not alone. God is with you. I am not alone. I am not alone. Say that with me. I am not alone. Tomorrow, when you're feeling down, when all your friends have got all these grand plans for Thanksgiving and you find yourself at home, I am not alone. I want you to say that. I am not alone because God is with me. You're not alone. In the midst of troubles, do we have anything for which to be thankful? Yes, we do. God is with us. From troubles to Thanksgiving. That's what Paul was all about. He knew what the secret sauce was. His name is Jesus. And he will not leave you. He will never forsake you. I want you this week to be thankful. I want you to make a list. I want you to physically get a pad out and a pen and make a list of all the things you're thankful for. And just stop and give praise to God for all the good things that He's blessed you with. I want to say happy Thanksgiving to you in advance. I want you guys to be praying for me. I've got to spend time with my sisters. And there's a lot of love there. A lot of love there. But whatever God has blessed you with, I want you to be thankful for whatever God has sent your way recently. And be thankful. Steve, can you help me be thankful for everything that God has sent our way? What is that? Who did that? I guess I did. Whatever God lets walk by you, sends your way, I want you to just stop and give thanks to God because He has been so good. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Let's bow. Let's give thanks to the Father. God, we love You. You've blessed us far beyond what we deserve. And Father, we acknowledge that You are the giver of all good things. You are the creator, the author and perfecter of our faith. And Father, we are so blessed to live in this country that we call the United States of America. Above all nations, we may have been more blessed than any. Help us, Father, not to take that for granted. The freedoms we enjoy, Father, help us to use that freedom to spread the gospel, to share our faith, to bring more people into the kingdom. Father, we want to be a people that are known for our love for each other and for You and for our world. So help us, Father. We want to say thank You. And we pray this, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.